but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. I'm reading from the New American Standard, NASB. Verse 2, if I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. So sometimes we read too fast. I want to slow it down. Verse 1, if you speak with the tongues of men and of angels, he said, you produce nothing. All you produce is the sounds of a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. You know, as soon as a cymbal and a gong start to bang and ring, you want to hurry up and stop that noise. So if you do that, speak with tongues of men and angels, you produce nothing. Verse 2, if you have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge and have faith to move mountains, but do not have love, it says, I am nothing. Now, this is not my commentary. This is God's. Verse 1 says you produce nothing. Verse 2 says you are nothing. Verse 3, even if you give away all your possessions to feed the poor, if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. Verse 1, you produce nothing. Verse 2, you are nothing. Verse 3, you profit nothing. Those three verses amplify, if you will, the supremacy of love, the preeminence of love, because love transcends just mere works. Verse 4 through 7 gives us the behavior of love, how love behaves. Love is patient. Love is kind. That's what it is. Then the next 8 let us know what it's not. It is not jealous, does not brag, and is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly, does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, and does not rejoice in unrighteousness. It's the next 8. And it picks back up on what it does. But rejoices with the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. That's the behavior of love. What it does and what it doesn't do. How it behaves, how it acts, its manners. And then verse 8a gives us the permanence of love. Love is permanent. Love never fails. It never fails. Never does it come to an end. Never does it go out of style. Never does it become obsolete. It never fails. But if there are gifts of prophecy, they will be done away with. There are tongues, they will cease. There's knowledge, it will be done away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. Meaning, on this side, we know with a veil concerning the things of God, in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away. So when we become glorified, we'll see clearly. Because the rain is gone. Amen. Pray for me. Verse 11. When I was a child, I used to speak like a child, think like a child, reason like a child. But when I became a man, I did away with childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly. So that's the same thing again. But it's not clear yet. Not on this side. But then, face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully, just as I also have been fully known. In other words, by God. Verse 13, but now faith, hope, love abide, these three, but the greatest, or the greater of these is love. Amen? Amen. Let's go over, let's get us a working definition again of love. This love is called agape love. When we looked at this definition, we first looked at what it is not. Because of the fact that the world has absolutely butchered the idea of love or what love is, and the world comes not even 1 millimeter close to what biblical love is. Not even close. And so since there's just a lot of junk out there about what love is and isn't, remember, if you're born again, if you're a child of God, you allow this to have the final word. Not Oprah or Dr. Feel Good or Bad, but the Word of God. This is the umpire. This is the final common denominator concerning all knowledge, the Word of God. So I'm hoping that when you leave out of here today, you'll have a better understanding about what real love is and what it isn't. Let's begin with what it isn't. What agape love is not, it is not romantic love. It is not sexual love. The Greek word for sexual love is eros, E-R-O-S. We get our word erotic or eroticism from that. And that does not appear in the New Testament. Agape love is not mere sentiment. It's not a pleasant feeling about someone. And thank God it's not. Because if it was, you could never fulfill the command to love your enemies. Because you will never have a warm, fuzzy feeling about an enemy. So thank God it is not mere sentiment or a pleasant feeling. It is not and does not refer to or mean close friendship or brotherly love. That's a different word in Greek. It's philia. We get our word Philadelphia from. Philadelphia is a compound Greek word with philos, philia, that's the love part, and then delphos, brother. Hence, it's called brotherly love. It's not that. It's a different word. Nor does agape use what the King James translates it as, charity, which in today's vernacular is known as giving to the needy. That's not what it is, what it does. It's not only what it is. That's what it's not. Let's go over it again quickly. It does not refer to romantic or sexual love. It does not refer to mere sentiment or pleasant feelings. It's not talking about close relationships or brotherly love, and it does not mean just giving to the needy. That's what it's not. Let's look at what it is. First and foremost, at the root or at the foundation or at the core of agape love is sacrifice, first and foremost. And it's sacrifice of self for the sake of others. Now, can you see how there's no feeling involved in that? You don't need to feel like anything to hold a door open for the Arab that you don't like. Or the white woman that you don't like white people. Or the white person doesn't like the black person. You don't have to feel anything. The Word of God says to love them, and that it does not involve feeling. Hold the door open. Because that's what you're commanded to do. Love your neighbor. If you're a Christian, then the world then becomes your neighborhood. And everyone in it, your neighbor. It's sacrifice of self for the sake of others. Let's talk about them, those others right quick. What do you mean talking about for others? We're talking about even for others who may care nothing at all for you. And who may even hate you. Is still self-sacrificing even for them. It is not a feeling. Please hear this in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. It is not a feeling, but a determined act of will. A determined, on purpose, intentional act of your will. That's what separates agape love from every other love on the planet. Agape love is a love of choice. That's why when a husband comes, if we're doing marriage counseling, my wife and I, and the husband or wife, particular husband, because he's supposed to lead in love, if he comes to tell me I no longer love my wife, what he's told me, which he doesn't realize, is that you've decided intentionally, purposefully, and deliberately not to love your wife because it's not feeling. He's saying, I have fallen out of love. There's no such thing biblically as that garbage. Let me make that perfectly plain to you. There's no such a thing as that. Biblical love is an act of the will. It's choice. So when that husband declares that, or the wife, they're saying, and they are saved. They're saying, I am choosing deliberately not to any longer love my husband or love my wife. And so you know you're not walking in love, agape love, because that love never fails. So if it's failing, then you're not walking in. You just told on yourself. This is the problem in the body of Christ. It's the problem. I'm talking about among saved, bona fide, died in the wood, children of God, on their way to heaven and so glad. Tongue talking, Bible toting. Real, genuine, legitimate children of God. This is the problem right here. That was a problem in the church at Corinth. This is, and don't get caught up in just the book, 1 Corinthians. It was a letter written to a real church in a real city. The city was Corinth. The folks who lived in Corinth were Corinthians. And they were, excuse my ghetto, they were on the nut in that church. They were so selfish and so self-centered, boastful, prideful, arrogant. If you want to listen to the I don't know, part one on this, we went through Corinthians, how terrible they were to one another before God. Sexual immorality. You had a son going with his stepmother, his father's new wife. Out of control. No kind of love for one another. It was so bad that the Holy Ghost moved on the great apostle Paul. Hey, they out of control. Write this right now. And he wrote this in the soil of just pride, arrogance, selfishness, self-centeredness. And unfortunately, that is continuing in the church even on today. Back to the definition, it is sacrificial. It is a sacrifice of self. It is not a feeling, but a determined act of the will. And a determined act of the will, the proof that you have determined and deliberately chosen to act in love toward the person will be followed up by a determined act of your self-giving. So you can't just make a decision and then not follow through on it because faith without works is dead. So if you're determined, you've made a choice to intentionally, deliberately walk in love to this person, then it's going to be followed by a self-giving act. Just a little quick preview of what's coming in a little bit. God didn't love, so loved the world that he said it. No, he did get action was behind. He gave. Word of God said, let us not love in word, but in deed, action, and in truth. Let it be a truthful action. So it's not a feeling, but a determined act. Follow of the will, followed by a determined act of self-giving. Love is a willing desire to put the welfare of others above your own. It's a willing desire. Willing desire. And the willing doesn't come from the person because you don't like them. Maybe you're struggling with them. Thank God it's not relying on feelings and warm feelings and a willing. Your desire, your willing desire is to please God, your Father, and bring Him the glory rather than fighting to get even. Don't get mad, get even. Yeah, that's demonic. That's satanic. That's the world. He said, do not, he said, avenge not yourselves. When the world is telling you, avenge yourselves every day. But the word of God says, avenge not yourself, but give place for the wrath of God. Then you'll know what they did to me. But did you see what they did to Jesus? Did they beat you and rip out chunks of flesh out of your back for nothing you didn't do? Jesus said, you have not resisted the shedding blood and striving against sin. You have not, and I have not. It's a willing desire to put the welfare of others above our own. Look at Philippians chapter 2 right quick. Philippians chapter 2. We read this before, but we could read it 100 times and it still wouldn't be enough. Philippians chapter 2, please. Look at verse 3. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit. Look at the totality. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as important than yourself. Oh, I just want to see if any folks are reading. Are you listening to me? You know, I might have been able to slip one by you. No, it didn't say as important, not even equally as important. I mean, it's a challenge to just regard somebody nearly as important as you, let alone equally. But the word of God goes beyond as more important than yourself, more important than yourself. That's what love does. So if you're loving sacrificially, you're sacrificing yourself for the sake of others, you have a determined act of will followed by determined acts of self-giving, and you have a willing desire to put the welfare of others above your own because you regard them as more important than yourselves, well, guess what? It leaves no room, no place, no area, no opportunity for pride, vanity, arrogance, self-seeking, self-glory. There's no room for that. It squeezes all of that out because a prideful, arrogant, self-seeking, self-glorification person can't walk in this love. Cannot. It's impossible. Because a self-seeking person can't be selfless at the same time. Do you understand that? So it can only be either self. You're either seeking yourself, your own good, or you're seeking someone else that you can't do both. And the last bit on the definition of agape is it is an act of choice. We said it, but let's hear it again. It's an act of choice. It's an act of choice. To a sacrificial, sacrifice of self, a determined act of will, a willing desire, an act of choice. By the way, an act of choice which we are commanded to exercise even on behalf of our enemies. Look at Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. You know, I don't know why we find the 1 Corinthians 13 chapter so beautiful and so wonderful. It ought to be, we ought to look at it like, you know, don't turn there. Oh, no. Be running out the house. Run away from it. Why? Because we're not doing it. And we struggle. You may walk in at a particular person, and a lot of times we'll get to it. you know, we walk in love toward those that we love already. We're talking about those who are seemingly unlovable. And the word seemingly means they appear, but because love never fails, you can love everybody. I don't care what personality, what type it is, you can, because it's not about brotherly love. It's not about feeling warm and fuzzy. Go back to, you will never feel warm and fuzzy about your enemy, but you can feed that dude of McDonald's. You can feed him with an orange drink, an apple pie to boot. You certainly can. Matthew 5, verse 44. The Pharisees, they taught one another to love their friends. Jesus, see that first word, but, that's a contrasting conjunction, meaning it's contrasting what they were talking about. However, I say to you, love your enemies. Then after he says, love your enemies, then he begins to give, he gave a direction as to what to do, which is pray for those who persecute you. It says when you do that, verse 45, so that in order that, here's the purpose for that, you may be sons, in other words, what's implied, you may be proven to be sons of your Father who is in heaven. That's what's implied in that clause. You'll be proven. It'll be a confirmation. Yep, that's a son of God, a child of God. How do you know? Because he causes his son to rise on the evil and the good. Do you think Adolf Hitler, Charles Manson, Juan and Evita Peron, and others, you think they had gardens and grass and things of that nature? They felt the sun and the rain. They felt it all. And sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. So we are to love those who are righteous and the unrighteous. We are to love those who are good and we are to love those who are evil. Because we are children of God who does the same thing. Listen now, Romans 5:5 lets us know that the love of God. Whose love? God. Whose love?
God's love.
Whose love?
God's love.
Whose love?
God's love.
God's love. I want you to hear that. That's what's been shed abroad in our heart. Not just any love, but God's love. The same love that God uses to love the good and the bad, the righteous and the unrighteous. We have, if you're born again, as a present possession, that love in our hearts right now. So you can love like God. So what God is asking us is not an impossibility. He gave us his love and then gave us the power. I can do all things through Christ. So we have the power of Christ at our disposal and the love of God in our hearts. Let's get cracking. Move your flesh out of the way and love. And remember, it's not feeling. It's decisions. The Lord's not telling you, go be buddy-buddy. Going into a relationship with nobody. But you better love them. Meaning when he tells you, do this for them. Pray for them. I ain't praying for them. Well, see that now you just. And I tell you what, you setting yourself up for a real good spanking from the Lord. Because he said, hey, I loved your rock head. Right. I moved on somebody to pray for your behind. When you was crooked, cross-eyed, and crazy. I mean, that's a good song. Somebody pray for me. Oh, they had me on their mind. They took the time to pray for me. I'm so glad they prayed. Oh, they took the time to pray. I'm so glad they prayed for me. Hallelujah. Glory be to God in the highest. And that's true. We need to remember ourselves. We're so angry at the other person. We're so upset at the other person that we have amnesia. The Holy Ghost has to tell you, hey, you were like, the matter of fact, you irritate me right now, saith the Lord. I'm mad at you. Why are you mad at them?
Right.
Love your enemies. Pray for them. You're proven to be sons of your Father. He calls his sun and rain on the good and the bad, the just and the unjust. Look at Romans chapter 5. Romans 5, please. Romans 5, verse 10. Romans 5, verse 10. Father God, thank you for your mercy, for teaching us how to be like you for real.
Amen.
Amen. Romans 5, verse 10. For while we were enemies, we were reconciled. What? What just happened? Did y'all read? We got the same Bible or what?
Yeah.
While we were friends, we were reconciled. I mean, what is what Bible you got? Do you want your Bible say? It says enemies, doesn't it? Wow. It says enemies. While we were enemies. It's something that this is Paul from the Holy Ghost to Apostle Paul to the church at Rome. Remember that? There was a church. If Romans is a real city. There was some saints at Rome. He wrote this to them, reminding them, while we were enemies, he died. We ain't going to die barely for a good person. The word of God says you might find somebody to die for a good person. Barely. But while we were enemies. That means we were openly and actively hostile to God. I want to say that again. We were openly and actively hostile to God. It wasn't like we was kind of liking them, and I was thinking about, well, maybe I'm going to go hang out with God, you know. As I have sex with these 10 women, I'm thinking I'm going to go over here and hang out with God. No, we don't want God. Apostle Paul wasn't trying to hang out with God before he became Apostle Paul. He's on his way to kill or at least incarcerate and produce the murder of more Christians. He was breathing out murderous threats on the way to Damascus with papers in hand to bring more Christians, either bring them their death or incarceration. While he was in that mental, infuriated state against God and his people, God knocked him to the ground. Thank you, Jesus. While we were enemies, we were reconciled, meaning brought back into right standing with God. The relationship was restored to God through the death of his son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. When God says, love your enemy, did he not prove that it can be done? Sure, because while we were enemies, he loved us. And he loved us by giving us the greatest gift you could ever give to a human being. Salvation. Eternal life. Verse 4. Did I say that? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. Okay. But God, being rich in mercy. It didn't say, but God had a little mercy. Oh, he sort of loved us. No, rich in mercy. Because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead, spiritually speaking, in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. And he did it by grace. That is just way too much. That's why it says, owe no man anything but love. One debt you'll never pay off is love. You're always indebted to everybody you run into. Love, the love debt can never be paid off. You'll always owe on that. You and I. Because then in heaven, we're going to do it perfectly. Because we're going to love forever. See, love never fails and never goes out of. This love is an eternal love. It's already set for the future. We're just practicing now for what we're going to do forever in heaven. Have you ever thought of it that way? Even we were dead in our trespass. What did he do? Rich in mercy and great love he exhibited to us. Verse 6, and he had the nerve to raise us up with Christ and seat us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. My Lord and my God, that's the love we have in our hearts right now. But you know what? That love is limited based on your choice, based on your will, based on your intention to use that love. But you got the power to do it. It's there. It's unlimited. And it covers all people, red, brown, yellow, black or white, male or female, rich or poor, bond or free, male or female. It covers. We limit it. I don't like him. I don't like her. Did that to me. I ain't done nothing for them. And when he tells you to feed your enemy, feed him poison free food. I thought I just mentioned that. Just saying.
Right.
Poison free food. I'm going to feed him all right. Oh, hold on, hold on. Put the cyanide back up, please. Pray for me. Let's look at the supreme measure and example of agape love. And who do you think, what do you think these next group of verses are going to be related to? Who gives love to that level?
Jesus.
Yeah, yeah, God the Father. Yeah. Let's look at God's love. Let's look at John 3:16. I know you know it forward and backwards, but still turn to it. As we get ready to close. John 3:16. I know you know, but I want you all eyeballs. Put some eyeballs on it. One thing, saints of God, at least we believe here, we believe in putting your eyes on it. I want you to see it. I want you to see it. Not quote it, see it. Because then there's two of us, when you see it and hear it, there's two senses being activated. The eye with the sight, vision, and the hearing. So that's a double. Because you want to get it out of your head, down in your heart. You want to get the word out of your head and down there. So we know a lot of head stuff. There's a lot of folks from the neck up know a lot about the word of God. But if it's not in the heart, then what good is it? The word of God says he's going to write these on the fleshy tables of the heart. Verse 16. So let's put our eyeballs on verse 16. For God so loved the world that he said it. Okay, so you see the verb. Love is a verb. Agape love is a verb. And that's why when you read over the behavior, this action, what it does do and what it doesn't do. Love is action. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting. I want you to see that. It is verb. It's action, action, action. Not feelings, not emotions, action. Look at verse 5. Turn to Romans chapter 5. We were just there, but let's go back to it. Romans 5, look at verse 8. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. You there? Yeah. If you have it, throw a hand up. If you got it, and back down. Thank you. Verse 8. But God demonstrates his love, his own love, toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, he said it, that he loved us. There's action. Christ died for us. Let's land on the word demonstrate. It means to show, but it also means to prove. He proved his love. He showed us his love. So not just to show, not to exhibit, not just to exhibit, but it was to prove it. It was to establish it. The word established means to achieve permanent acceptance or recognition. You can't help but understand that his love was on display because Jesus Christ died for us. You can't fake that.
Amen.
Demonstrate again means to show, to prove, to establish, to exhibit, to make good, to present in its true and unmistakable character. That's the love of God. To show, to prove, to establish, to exhibit, to make good, to present in its true and unmistakable character. He demonstrated his own love. He established in his true and unmistakable character the love, his own love toward us. By the way, this word demonstrated in the present tense. We're talking about quick Greek grammar. Present tense, meaning that it's going on and on. In other words, God is continuously establishing and proving and exhibiting his love in that the death of Christ, as someone once wrote, remains as its most striking manifestation. So every time we continue to meditate on and see the death of Christ for the sins of the world in Scripture, we are once again seeing the agape love of God on display constantly, consistently, and continually. Do you see that? Because the love of God, the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, remains its most striking manifestation, end quote. You can't get any greater than that love. Greater love and no man than this, than to lay down his life for his friend. That's what Jesus said. 1 John, in the back, chapter 3, verse 16. So we see that love is a verb, for God so loved the world that he gave. He demonstrates his own love in that one, Christ died for us. 1 John 3:16. We know love by this, that Jesus said out loud, very clearly, that he loved us. There's a verb again. I just want to see it. We know love how? Because we saw something being done. He laid down his life for us. And then come the responsibility, because to whom much is given, much is required. So he laid down his love for us. We just ought to, let me put some hood on it. We just ought to lay down our life for the brother. We owe it to them to sacrifice our life for them, whether it means your actual physical life or to be self-sacrificial. Either way, we ought to just do that because that is what was done for us. Turn up to the next chapter. Turn up to the next chapter. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. Verse 9, 1 John chapter 4, verse 9. Are we understanding this just a touch, yes, saints of God?
Yes.
1 John chapter 4, look at verse 9. By this, the love of God was manifested in us. Here we go again. Put on display, shown to us, established. By this, well, we're going to find out what that this was the love of God manifested in us, that God has said. Oh, it's sin. I'm sorry. Oh, you want to say sin? Okay. I thought he said it. No. God has sent. So he did something else again. He just keeps doing. Can you see that? He keeps doing. So you never can just say, I love you, and you don't follow that up with words. I've always said this. If a wife, I blame the husband because he's a leader. If the husband reduces the wife to for her having to hear him say, I love you, that's a problem. Because if the only way she knows that she's being loved by her husband is because he says it, that's a problem. Are you listening to me? That's junk love. It's not love at all, actually. Just junk. That's nothing. It's empty words. And it's vice versa, too. A spouse ought to know, especially of a Christian who are Christians, believers, children of God. The spouses ought to know that they're being loved if they never are told the verbal, I love you, because the actions are so loud. Remember, actions speak louder than words. Actions scream, words whisper. I can't hear what you're saying for what you're doing. All them old sayings is on point. So you saying you love me, but you beat my brains out every 5 seconds. So that's not love. You say you love me, but you are verbally berating me every 5 seconds. That's not love. I'd rather for a husband or wife never tell their spouse they love them and just show them all kind of love all day long. Show their love. Yeah. And if you do show your wife or your husband love and then you tell them you love them, they will respond, I know. I already know. Hallelujah. My baby loved me. Mm-mm-mm. And me want to do the James Brown up in here. Hey! I feel good. Yeah, yeah. I ain't gonna look at my wife and see that, boy, you need to calm down. That's all right.
That's so sweet.
I love my baby. Yeah. That's by the grace of God. He gets the glory for that.
Yes. Amen.
Because I could be somebody else.
Yes.
And I tell her that. I could have. She could have been. But God. But God. Demonstrated his love for us.
Yes.
And thank God he got it to us to demonstrate that love for one another.
Yes.
Through action. It's not words. It's action. It's not words. It's action. Look at it again. By this, chapter 4, verse 9. By this, the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love. Says it again in verse 10. What is that? Not that we love God, comma, but that he loved us, look, and sent his Son to be the propitiation or the satisfaction for our sin. Do you see that, y'all? It's action. Says it twice in those two verses. By this love of God manifested that he sent his only begotten Son. Not this is love. What is it? Not that we love God, comma, but that he loved us and sent his Son.
Thank you, Lord.
Into the world. We're going to stop there. Next week, Lord willing, we're going to begin at how love behaves. We went over, need to go over how it behaves or how love performs or the manners of love. So we begin with verse 4 with patient and kind. Patient and kind next week, Lord willing. Father God, you have just crushed our toes today and turned them into powder. Because we are convicted. I think it's safe to say, even some of the young people, that there isn't not one person in this room, I don't think, that is maybe having a problem with somebody or had a problem with someone. And we struggled to walk in agape love toward them. Struggled. Some of us more mightier than others. We stand before you with open hearts because you see everything.
Yes.
But so, Father, I just say that right now we're going to just take about 30 seconds and just confess our sin of lack of love toward those who are less than lovely toward us.
Yes.
I'm going to do that right now in Jesus' name. Just to yourself, just between you and the Lord. Father, hear our cry. Hear our heart's cry, which is a begging of forgiveness for being less to them than you were to us. And Father, if there's anyone in this room that needs to go to that person and say, I've sinned against you, let a man up, a woman up, and do it. Not for them, for your glory. For your glory. Because we're children of you, the Most High God. Yeah, them secondarily, but primarily against thee and thee only have I sinned, said David. When we sin against others, we're sinning against God first and foremost. Father God, help us to understand that. And the fact that we are to love you with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and our neighbor as ourselves aren't suggestions. There are two great commandments on which every other command hangs. We are God lovers, and we are godly lovers toward our neighbor. In Jesus' name, and the people of God said, Amen. Amen.